back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
This segment is called Elation and Deflation. We are elated to have Chris Peters joining us, but we received, through hockey insider Chris Johnson, some very, very difficult news, Marty, during the commercial break.
I don't want to say it.
Okay, I'll say it, because I was pumping his tires for so long, I feel I'm taking this personally. Dakota Joshua, four-year extension, $3.25 million in Vancouver, so he will not hit UFA status, and you can blame the Chicago Blackhawks all day long for making the cap space available for Vancouver to complete this transaction. What do you think?
I mean, it's an amazing deal for Vancouver, because he obviously made an impact, and you need players like him. You obviously, and we're going to see that at the draft this week as well, that players that help you win hockey games,
yes,
size, compete, heaviness, he does it all.
But he's also a fascinating prospect, now established pro, and a great reminder of what happens this weekend is a long ways from what may happen in somebody's career. He took the long road.
He really did.
To becoming a relative impact player for the Vancouver Canucks.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think patience is always important, especially with players that, you know, play the way that he does, because it takes him a little while to find their game and find their game against pros. I mean, he was an excellent college player, really did a lot of things that you know, said this is going to be a pro prospect. And throughout his career, it took him a little while to figure it out as an NHL player. But honestly, you know, I think you look at what he did this season, and that's what you would always hope for. That's the best case scenario.
It really was.
And now you have him for long term.
Yeah, good for Dakota Joshua. Big piece for Vancouver moving forward, surrounded by some talent, elite talent, that actually loved playing with him too. And that's the fit, right?
I haven't said anything in the last 3 minutes because I'm still, like, you know, tongue-tied on the whole thing. Like, 3.25, the guy scored 18, will probably score 25 a year.
Yeah, how many he had in the playoffs?
He got four in the playoffs in 13 games. He had 8 points. But still, like, his contribution is beyond the points, and $3.25 million is nothing. Nothing in this NHL at 3.25.
Not when the cap's going up by 100 million, right?
All right, Chris, number 11, the Sabres.
Are we moving on already?
We got to get it over. Okay. Where could we find Dakota Joshua at 11 for the Sabres?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's a great question. But, I mean, seriously, like, what we know now what Dakota Joshua can do, and that's typically not a first-round pick, right? But what kind of intangibles do you see in a player like that, and is there anybody in the range where Buffalo is sitting here at 11?
In this draft, there's a lot of really high-end options. I think really even at 11, you're still talking about some of the top tier of this class, because I think really the first 14 players, maybe 13 players, there's a pretty good level there, and then there's the drop-off. So you're still looking for that more premium, high-upside talent that is going to be there, and I think you're going to have defensemen, which obviously the Sabres have a lot of, but there are some right-shot defensemen, which they don't have as much of. And then there's also the centers that are a little bit on the undersized side. You know, Berkeley Catton maybe might be there. Maybe you're lucky and Tiija Ginla falls there as a winger. I doubt it, but it's still possible. And then you also have Konsta Hellenius, who is a good two-way guy. And he's one of those guys that I do think has some of the intangible, because he's got a great work ethic. He plays a heavy game, even though he's 5'11". He's really strong. He was one of the top scorers among U18 players in the last, you know, 30 years in Liga. You know, so the list of guys that are ahead of him are all in the NHL. So you figure that player profiles as an NHL talent. And honestly, those are the types of guys that you'd be chasing. And that's why the pick has so much value as well. As you know, we've certainly talked about the possibility of that being a trade asset to go out and get somebody that provides more immediate help. But I still think if you're getting a player in that range, he's going to be at the top, towards the top of your prospect system, which is already really well put together, and there's a lot of guys. But the thing is, the one thing that I will say that's a little challenging, there's a lot of what the Sabres already have there, too. When we talk about guys like Berkeley Catton, Konsta Hellenius, you probably want to find somebody with a little more size, but I just don't know if that's there for them.
Okay, so you mentioned Tiija Ginla. Yep. If the Flames weren't picking ninth, and let's say the Flames were picking 16th, Would Tish Iginla be more of a 13, 14, 15 type of prospect? But because it's ninth, and they're like, there's no way the Flames are going to pass, you know, on Tish Iginla because of his dad, Jerome Iginla, yeah, and his success with the Flames. Now all of a sudden he becomes like, hey, he's a top nine, he's a top 10. Maybe somebody is going to sneak him out at seventh or whatnot. Yeah. Is that why, or is he a top 10 player?
I think it really flipped in the second half of the season, and also after the World Under 18 Championship, where he was so impactful for Canada in a gold medal effort, and he did kind of float into that territory where some teams might have him even higher than ninth. You know, okay, some teams might have him. The range, you know, we talk a lot about the uncertainty of this draft, which I think is the real fascinating thing. I think one will go as we all expect. Two is a little bit. It's probably going to be Artem Levchinov, I would say.
Yep.
But then after that, what is Anaheim going to do? And so it creates this kind of cascading effect where, you know, you're really not sure what's going to be there. And the gap between those players, I really feel, is not that big. So, like, the gap between Tiija Ginla and one of the top defensemen is pretty small.
Okay.
And so I do think that he belongs in the conversation. He was a little lower on my board than ninth. I do think that, you know, the centers, you know, Lindstrom, Catton, Hellenius, there's also the rise of Beckett Seneca, who's another, you know, growing wing that I think is really fascinating, that has a lot of teams excited. It creates that kind of uncertainty at the top. So I'm really fascinated to see what's going to happen, because anything is possible. And the interesting thing is the value of that pick is going to dramatically change for some teams beneath the Sabres, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hey, this guy's still there. Maybe we got to, you know, throw something at him to get that pick.
Well, that's the thing. That's actually, I feel, incredibly linked to Kevin Adams' commentary recently. Have you not got that sense from Kevin that if anything is to happen at this draft with that pick, it's they may move back?
Yeah.
I've kind of sensed that in the tone, and that's exactly what you're
talking
about.
Because they think they get a good player at 25 if
right,
they did,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
and they would move off of 11.
And
he
it's
did
what,
say that
and it's
this
what
today.
Else can help you now,
yeah,
and if it's not immediate, then it's like, well, let's do a 2-for-1. Let's get ourselves in a position to move back, get an extra pick out, yeah, of it, and again, whether it's take a gamble, nobody likes to say that, but I mean, based on, yeah, the prospect pool that you've outlined, we've outlined, well, I mean, they have a lot of pieces in place, so...
But let me, because we talked about Dakota Joshua, and we went to dinner,
right,
yesterday, and, yeah, a couple tables over was Sacha Boisvert.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying he's not an 11th,
right,
overall pick, but he's a little bigger,
yes,
a little stronger,
yes,
scored over 30 goals in the USHL, going to North Dakota, gotten a few fights,
yep,
he's got that side. Like, could he be a 22nd overall pick? Is that, or is that too far? Like, if the Sabres, yeah, were to move back.
Yeah, no, I think that is a pretty fair range for Sacha. And you know, he could go a little bit higher. It's the jumble of the draft. But as a 6'2" center with 30 goals scored in the USHL, which is a lot tougher than I think a lot of people realize to do that in that league.
He was 17 years old.
He was 17 years old. And a guy that's still, you know, he is bigger with the 6'2" frame, but he's got a lot of room to fill out. Mm-hmm. You know, and he did have that little bit of, you know, snarl in his game. He had that little bit of, you know, kind of, which I don't think people saw in his first season in the USHL. It's really hard to do that,
yeah,
in the USHL. But the thing is there are players that probably better fit the system that could be available lower in terms of maybe fit needs better. Will you get the high-end potential? Possibly not. But at the same time, you're getting, you know, you think about guys like Sacha Boisvert, Cole Beaudoin in that same range. Those are players that kind of give you that middle of the lineup jam,
yep,
that you probably need a little bit more of.
So we're being reminded of your mock draft.
Yes.
Would you like to indulge the audience as to what you think exactly will land with Buffalo,
well,
at 11?
That's the thing, is like the confusion of what's going to happen. I mean, you know, I put Zane Parekh there because of the right shot defenseman. It gives you a little more balance.
Saginaw,
gives you a little more.
Right?
He's
Saginaw,
a right,
yeah,
champion.
That's champion,
yeah,
and that's
and
our hockey expert, our draft expert from Joywave,
Daniel.
Yeah,
Daniel.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
he said Zane Parekh. He, yeah, said Ziv Bouyum or Zane Parekh. So yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the chatter is that Ziv Bouyum is probably going to go earlier than,
yes,
maybe a lot of people expect. Parekh is the one that could potentially slide a little bit more. He had 96 points in the OHL before, you know, I mean, as a defenseman, he's a goal scorer from the back end as well. So,
oh, you know, we love to see that.
Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't love that?
Well, some teams, obviously, yeah, because they don't have defensemen that shoot to score. Yeah. And we love seeing the shoot to score defenseman.
And he gets into the play. He gives you almost a fourth forward on the ice. He defends well enough. Like, it's not like a huge, is he great? No, but is he, like, defensively not compared to some of the other guys? Mm-hmm. But he's good enough. And I think that the thing is with the Sabres, you've got all those left shot defensemen, and there are similarities. Obviously, you have Bowen Byram now. You have different players. You know, obviously, Rasmus Dahlin, very offensive-minded. And to have a player like Parekh in that mix, maybe it's a little too much of the same thing, but I still think that having some right shot balance to a decor and also a position of value, mm-hmm, is really important to have. The scarcity of right shot defensemen right now is really, you know, a thing. How much value do those guys get in the trade market? How much value do they bring in free agency to themselves, really, more than anybody? But, sure, you know, like, that's the thing, is that I think that he's an interesting player. And, you know, I think there should be a forward there.
But because we're in Vegas, and there's always, like, you play the slot machine and you want the Wild, right? The Wild to pop up everywhere. One guy that I think could be a wild card, and I don't know where you feel about him, is Cole Yzerman.
Yeah.
And I think, like, maybe 11th is a little too early to take that shot on him, but he could be a 40-goal scorer in the NHL. Yeah. He's got that goal-scoring ability that nobody else has.
Yeah.
There's a lot of deficiency in his game, but could you see him be in the 10 to 15 range?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, the chatter has been that he's obviously tumbled, you know, throughout the season. He came into the year having scored almost 70 goals last season. Everybody's saying, hey, this is a guy that's going to be, a top-tier talent in this draft. The thing was, we didn't see a lot of progression in the game. We didn't see a lot of the things that he needed to add to be a more versatile player. And the thing is if you can't be versatile enough, how are you going to play the minutes that a top six forward needs to play? But the thing about Cole Yzerman, I think it's a boom-bust kind of pick, right? Because if you get him and he does have that goal-scoring talent, he's a 40-goal scorer, then all of a sudden you're talking about a guy that is going to be a star in the NHL. The opposite side is if the goals don't come the way that they did in junior and they don't come in the way, what else can he do for you? It was the same conversation with Cole Caulfield, but I think Cole Caulfield still had the hockey sense advantage where he was able to kind of do those things, and he's a little bit smaller. And you know, if Cole was 6'2", I bet we wouldn't be having this conversation, because at least there's that size element, but he's 5'11", you know, so it's kind of like the thing that teams are still saying. And again, if you're the Sabres and you're looking at that player, you're saying, okay, we've got Zach Benson, you know, we've got Matt Savoy. And again, I don't think you make those decisions with who you have. You just say, who's the best player, mm-hmm, and we'll take care of the rest later.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of that redundancy, I guess.
We got to fly, but I want to leave you with this question. What do the Sabres have in their new AHL head coach in Mike Leone?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, because I love Mike Leone. I think that, for one, he's a great developer of talent. He's a person first ahead of the player, which I think is really important. He's, you know, he played for John Cooper as a junior player way back in the day in the North American League. And you kind of see those similar elements of, you know, taking care of his players. And, you know, Artem Levchinov, who's going to probably go second overall, played for him last year, and I think he really flourished in his first year in North America. And that's a player you had to make comfortable, didn't speak much English, you know, couldn't, you know, was adjusting to a new culture, was away from home. And, you know, they were able to make him better. And I think that that's really special. So I have a lot of time for Mike. I think that he's a great, you know, person first, and then really develops well. And he's an innovative thinker too, which I think is really important for today's NHL. And I think that's what he's going to bring. And I thought that was a great hire at the time. I still think it's a great hire. Really excited to see how he does. Obviously, the Amerks have had some great success with a lot of coaches that I've known over the years.
Sure.
So nobody's called me to be an assistant coach yet, though. So I don't know what I got to do.
We got to wait until July 1. There's a new fiscal year after
July 1.
Hey, keep up the great work.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Phenomenal to see you. Hey. Terrific insight, as always. And
great work, and as always with Flow Hockey and everything.
Quick plug for where people can find all of your stuff.
Yeah, we'll have live draft analysis on flowhockey.tv, all, you know, pick by pick, and also draft grades and all those things. So
awesome.
Lots coming on flowhockey.tv.
Yes. He's Chris Peters. We're back after this to wrap up Sabres Live from the Wynn in Vegas. Stay with us.